Today's daf is Tmur Yud Bet. We're going to start at the Mishnah, a few lines down. Ein hamiduma medameh ela lefi cheshbon. Okay, we're getting very, very off topic here. We were talking, right, and if you look back for a minute, in the previous Mishnah, we were talking about evarim buvarim, uvarim be'evarim, and that part. And now we're getting to something totally different. We'll see how it eventually connects later on in the Mishnah. I also want to note that this Mishnah appears in Trumot, okay? The first part of the Mishnah until the Mikvah part, okay? The first three cases, we're going to see a bunch of cases in the Mishnah, is basically like a copy and paste from the Mishnah in Trumot, okay? So, Ein hamiduma medameh ela lefi cheshbon. I have to explain a bunch of terms. What is meduma? What is medamea? Meduma is a combination of truma and chulin. It's a case where truma falls into chulin. We've learned many times about dine bitul. So there's a concept of bitul barov. Then there's a concept that, you know, basar b'chalav is echad b'shishim. That's because we assume at that point it gives flavor. You know, so 1 in 60 already, you won't really taste anything. Then when it gets to things like truma, there's a bunch of exceptions to the batal b'shishim rule. Like 1 in 100 is to cancel out truma. Okay, there's certain things, because of their chashivut, their importance, they're never canceled, or they're canceled in a bigger, you know, you need more to cancel them. So truma falls into a pile of chulin. Okay, so now, there's not enough to cancel it out. Let's just say, for example, okay, to make it simple, instead of 1 in 100, there's 1 to 50 ratio. Okay, one se'av truma falls into 50 se'av chulin. That's called, right, that's the meduma. It's now a mixture of truma and chulin. You have to treat it as truma. But, ein hameduma medamea, but it doesn't cause another dimua, ela lefi cheshbon. That means if, let's say, here's my truma fell into chulin. This now is the combination of truma and chulin. A little bit from here now, where it's 1/50th truma, falls into another pile of chulin. Now, do we say, if you remember, we had like chatichat nevela, what's it called? Chatichat nevela. Oh my God, I just forgot the word. But remember we said when there's a nevela, another nevela, the whole thing becomes nevela. So theoretically, this whole thing is almost called truma. Is it or not? Or do we say that when a piece falls into the next batch, let's say there's 50 in the next batch, so if we say, let's say one se'ah from this combo falls in, do we say, well, that 50, that one se'ah is only 1 and 51 truma, right? The ratio of truma is 1 to 51, because now there's 51 in here, because the one se'ah added to the 50 of truma. And therefore, only 1/51 is truma, you know, a fraction is truma, which means when it falls into the 50, it's going to be totally fine. Or do we say, no, 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 this whole se'ah is truma now. So when it falls into the 50, it's not going to be batav. So that's the question. The Mishnah says, we're going to see that almost all the cases in the Mishnah have a machloket about them, or all the ones we're going to see today.
Why,
yeah.
Why would that one say, I'll be all truma? Because in that case, the entire 50 that it came from...
So it's not that it 100% is, but maybe it is. And if you say maybe it is, well, then you have to treat this as truma, lechumra. In other words, yeah, it goes lechumra both ways.
Maybe, but okay.
And that, well, look, it might not have been mixed up, in which case the se'ah that came out, and it's, if you assume it got all mixed up, then everything will be even. But, you know, who's to say a se'ah, you know, whatever it might be, won't necessarily be all mixed up, in which case it's possible that the se'ah that came out could be truma, it's possible not. So still you're messed up in the first batch, and now you're messed up in the second batch. So the Mishnah says it only goes lefi cheshbon. That means proportionally, you look at this, whatever se'ah fell into the next batch, as it's only got 1 over 51 of truma in it, that's going to be batel then to the next batch. Okay? So we're going to assume we just go by the proportion. Ve'ein ha-mechumatz mechametz ela lefi cheshbon. Okay, now we have another thing that's not batel. Let's say you have truma. So truma is normally batel in 1 in 100. But if your truma is the leavening agent is the most important part of the batter, of the dough. So therefore, it's not canceled. If the leavening agent, we learned all about this, and we'll see some sources that we learned before soon. If the leavening agent is what caused the bread to leaven, and it was truma, then the whole mixture is going to be forbidden. So if a se'or, which is the leavening agent of truma, falls into a dough of chulin, and it leavens it, that is now called truma. What if from that dough, we took some of that dough, which had si'or in it, and we put it into we didn't do it on purpose, it fell into another batch of dough, and it helped it. So again, Ela lefi cheshbon. Ein ha-mechumatz mechametz. The mechumatz is leavening agent, right? The mixture with leavening agent in it has leavening of truma. It's not mechametz. Ela lefi cheshbon. It doesn't mess up another batch unless it was that amount of se'or that caused it. In other words, was there enough truma? Was there enough of a leavening agent of truma in the second batch to leaven the second batch? Ve'ein ha-mayim she'uvim poslim et ha-mikveh ela lefi cheshbon. Okay. I'm only going to give you a little bit of background. I'm going to wait till we get to the Gemara, because the Gemara struggles with what exactly are they talking about here. Mayim she'uvim is water drawn from, a well, or water drawn from somewhere, drawn water rather than rainwater. Generally, mikvahs are made of rainwater, or you can use like a natural spring, stream water, but not water that was taken out from somewhere and is no longer attached, no longer connected to the ground. So the mayim she'uvim, so now what happens? Let's say you need 40 se'ah of water for a mikvah, kosher mikvah. If there's three log of mayim, if you pour three, let's say if you have a mikvah that's already got 40 se'ah, you're fine. You can add some mayim shuvim, it won't mess it up. But if your mikvah is three log, it's 40 se'ah minus three log, and you pour in three log of mayim shuvim, messes up the mikvah. But we're going to see. So the question is, what does this mean? We don't know yet. But mayim shuvim is mayim that could potentially mess up a mikvah. Now we're getting a little bit off topic even more, because this is a little different than the rest of them. This was all sort of, although we haven't explained the mayim shuvim yet, but maybe it's also a bit different than the other two, but we'll get there. Ein mechatat osim mechatat, ela im matan efer. This is the parajuma. What do? You put the ashes from the parajuma into the water. So now they're telling you, you have to put the ashes into the water. You can't put the water into the ashes. Like some things come with directions here. You have to add this first and mix that. That's the way they're saying it has to be done in that particular manner. Okay? Again, this is a little different than the others. Ein beta pras osim beta pras. Okay, once you have a beta pras, now what's a beta pras? It's a field where either there's a dead person buried and you don't know where, so we assume the whole field is safek tuma, or it's where there was someone buried underneath and then the field was plowed, and now you're worried that you might have the plowing might have broken up bones and there might be bones now scattered around the entire field. So again, you have to treat the field with safek tuma. Okay, you have to assume, if you walk through the field, you might be coming in contact with tame bones. So, ein beta pras, so sim beta pras. Now, if you plow this field, you don't have to worry that let's say I plow this field and I plow the next field, I don't have to worry that when I plowed, I got all the bones mixed up and stuff, that it got to all the fields around me. Okay, we're going to see again what exactly we're talking about here when we get to the Gemara. Ve'ein truma achar truma. Okay, once you take truma, you can't take truma again. Okay, if I already took truma from a batch of fruits and then I do it another time, my second time it's not relevant. Okay, now you can see at least we're getting closer to our topic. Ve'ein tmura oseh tmura. Okay, the two words I keep confusing, truma, tmura. So here they are together. Tmura doesn't, if you substitute an animal for another animal, so that works, it's effective. If you then take that second animal, that's the tamura animal, and you say, in place of this, I'm going to take another animal and substitute it, you can't do that. There's no substitution for substitution. You can see why this is similar to the other cases, because you're taking something that was kind of forbidden, and then you're doing, right, it's kind of weakening. It gets weakened as it goes along, just like the truma that was in a mixture, and then you took a little bit of that mixture out, it's already a weakened form. Same thing here. Right? Again, not all these cases are exactly comparable, but you could see maybe some sort of thread that goes throughout, like the beta pras, right? This beta pras is a problem, but the things that are farther away, that maybe there's a chance they got a little bit that already, we're going to treat differently. The lo havlad oseh tmura, again, we saw this already, right? A vlad kodashim, this is when it's born from a pregnant mother who was sanctified. So the vlad does not, when the vlad is born, right, you can't do tmura to it. There's no such thing. If you try to substitute it, since its kedusha already was weakened, because it came from the mother and not directly, itself wasn't sanctified, then it is sanctified, but it's not. It wasn't directly sanctified. Therefore, it's not tmura is not effective. Rabbi Yehuda Omer havlado setmura. He thinks it does. This is what we saw yesterday. We kept saying this must hold like Rabbi Yehuda, who said that the vlad does do tmura, because the whole thing with there was the vlad in utero doesn't, but it was obvious that the vlad outside would do tmura. So he must, right, that matched Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Amrulo, they said to him, what are you talking about? Hekdesh oset tmura, tmura ve'em vlad oset tmura. Okay? Hekdesh creates a tmura situation substitution, but a vlad can't. Okay? A vlad's not the same. It's not exactly... Usually when they say Amru Lo, they kind of try to give a proof against him. Here they're just kind of stating what they said before. Okay. Now what we're going to do is we're going to get to all the cases up until the Beit HaPras case, okay, including the Beit HaPras case today. And each case is going to be the same structure. We're going to say who's the Tana of our Mishnah. And often instead of saying who's the Tana, they're going to say who it's not. Okay, sometimes they'll say who it is, sometimes they'll say who it's not. Who it's not usually means that, or always means, that person disagreed with Chachamim, meaning our Mishnah matches Chachamim, then if it's not like that person. And you're going to see, in many of them, it's not going to be like Rabbi Eliezer, which at least we're consistent. The Mishnah consistently holds against Rabbi Eliezer. Not every case is going to be that way, but many of the cases. Man Tana, so who's the Tana of the first case about En HaMeduma Medamea El Lefi Cheshbon? Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Delo Ke Rabbi Eliezer. Ditnan, it says in the Mishnah, Se'ah shel truma, so you have a se'ah of truma, she'nafla lepachot mi'meah chulin, right, it fell into a mixture that was less than 100, so it's not batel, v'nidmu'u, right, and that mixture now becomes what's called nidmu'u, it becomes, what do you call it, dimua, where it's a mixture of truma and chulin, you have to treat it like truma, v'nafla min ha'meduma lemakom acher, that's exactly our case. And then, se'ah from there went into another combination of chulin. Rabbi Eliezer omer midameh ketruma vadai. Okay? This causes dimua as if the se'ah that came out of this combo was 100% truma. Okay? You can even, whether you read this or not, but it's helpful. Sha'ani omer, but if you look in the Masoret HaShas, they say, kol zeh leita b'mishnah. This doesn't appear in the Mishnah anymore. They're quoting from a Mishnah. These words don't appear in the Mishnah, but maybe the Gemara gave this as an explanation. Sha'ani omer se'ah shenafla hi sha'alta. Okay, the explanation is, or maybe it was in some other version of the Mishnah, just not the version of the Mishnah that we have, that the se'ah, this is what I tried to explain before, Naomi, the se'ah shenafla, the se'ah that came out of here, is the one that was the truma. Okay, we just assume that it could be, since it might not have been mixed up properly, maybe the whole se'ah that came out was actually the truma, in which case you have to be machmir. Again, remember, truma is pretty it's pretty serious. So better to be machmir and be concerned that maybe it was all se'ah of truma, and if you don't have 100 in the new pile, it's not going to cancel it out. V'chachamim omrim einam adamat ela l'pi cheshbon. That's what our Mishnah said. It's all according to the cheshbon. It's proportionally. If there was 1 in 51 of truma in the first batch, is the example that we gave, then only 1 of 51 of this new se'ah is considered truma. So now measure that, compare it to the whole pile, and you know, likely it'll be canceled. V'ein ha'mechumatz mechametz v'chulei. So now we have the same case, kind of, similar. It's just, it's not a 1 in 100 ratio, because here we're talking about se'or, we're talking about a leavening agent, and as long as it leavens the dough, then we're going to say it's a problem. But if the leavening dough, right, the leavening agent that was in the truma, that was truma, that fell into chulin, and now a part of that goes into a new batch of dough and leavens it, question is, according to the right, our Mishnah said, it only is if there was enough se'or of truma to actually leaven the next dough. So, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, matnitin delo ka Rabbi Eliezer. Again, this doesn't follow Rabbi Eliezer. Shita ditnan, as it says in the Mishnah. Se'or shel chulin v'shel truma. Okay, this is going to be a little bit different. In fact, I'm not going to get into the details, but Tosfot tries to understand the case in the Mishnah differently based on the fact that this is what they brought as a proof. Okay, but we're going to go with Rashi, who explained it the way I did, or I explained it the way Rashi did. Madnitin de lo Rabbi Eliezer ditnan. Se'or shel chulin v'shel truma, we learned this also. A se'or of chulin and of truma, shenaflu l'toch ha'isa. So you have two leavening agents fall into one dough. Okay? We learned this a while ago. I don't remember. We can look up where it appears. We learned it in Avodah Zarah. No, we learned it in Avodah Zarah. Okay. So, se'or shel chulin v'shel truma shenaflu l'toch ha'isa. V'lo b'zeh kedei lachmitz, v'lo b'zeh kedei lachmitz. Each one on its own can't leaven the dough. V'nitztarfu v'chimtzu, but together they leaven the dough, right? Half of this, half of that, that's strong enough to leaven the dough, but each one on its own isn't. Rabbi Eliezer Omer.
Is that scientifically true? Like in sourdough, any amount that you put into dough will make it sourdough?
I think you need only a little bit.
You don't need a lot.
I think even the tiniest bit will do it because then it's just a question of time.
Right. It could be a matter of time, though. It could be here you leavened it using both, right? You're saying maybe, well, I don't know. Maybe you could have a bad sourdough that won't leaven. It could be it goes bad. Or maybe you need an amount. It's a good question, right? You don't really need so much. If you just leave it long enough, you need very little. So it's a good question what they're referring to. The amount wouldn't really be enough. It's interesting. Unless... Right, no, it's a good question. I don't know the answer. You'd have to know more about how they did it and what they... I don't know. Maybe not sure. Okay. They seem to imply that, no, it would be a certain amount that you would need.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Achar Charon Aniba, we go by the last one. The first one that went in was Chulin, and the second one was Truma, because if the first one wasn't enough, the second one was the one that put it over the edge. So, therefore, we're going to say it's Truma. If the second one was Chulin, then we're going to call this Chulin. Okay, that obviously doesn't match our Mishnah, because our Mishnah said it's all a matter of, could it on its own leaven, right? So that's why, again, Tosfot says this isn't really a good comparison, this Mishnah to that, to our Mishnah, and therefore explains the case of the Mishnah based on this. But to Rashi, it's sufficient to say that this is similar enough. In other words, this basically says, could or could not, depending on whether it's capable of leavening. That's not whether it's capable of leavening. It's a matter of was it the last one or not. Chachamim omrim ben shenafal isur lechatchila. Ben shenafal isur basof lechatchila here means first, not the general use of the term lechatchila. Whether the isur fell first or whether the isur fell second. Lo'olam ein asur ad shehebo kedei lachmitz. It has to be that amount of truma was able to leaven the dough. So according to Rabbi Elazar, we don't care if that amount was able to leaven the dough, as long as that was the one that caused it to leaven, because that was the last one that went in. But our Mishnah says, no, you need enough of the truma to actually leaven the dough on its own. And if you don't have that, then it's not going to be it. So it does work according to Rashi, but Tosfot does offer an alternative. Ein hamayim shuvim poslinat hamikvah. Man tana, so who's the tana? In this case, instead of saying it's not so-and-so, we're going to say it is someone. Amar b'chiya bar'aba, Amar b'yochanan. Notice these are all passed down the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Every time it's someone said the name of Rabbi Yochanan about our Mishnah, it's not like this opinion. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, it's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, is not the same as Rabbi Eliezer. Okay. It's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov shita. Ditznan, as we see in the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov omer. I'm just going to let you know, by the way, we're going to reject this, okay? Just so you have the structure in your head. But first we're going to suggest it's this, and then we're going to say, oh no, it can't be. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Mikva sheyesh bo 21 se'ah. You have 21. Why is that a significant number? It's just over the majority of what you need for a mikvah. So the majority of the water is meg shami. Okay, 21 se'ah meg shami. Now, how can you fix this mikvah if you don't have more meg shami? So you can take, believe it or not, now, even though we said you can't have more than 3 log of shuvim, which is very small. I think a log, I forget the connection of a log and a se'ah, but it's much, much less than 19 se'ah. That's if you pour the water directly in. If you pour mayim shuvim into the mikvah, pasul's the mikvah. But now they tell you, if you want to fill the rest of this mikvah with mayim shuvim, there's a way you can do it. Mimalei bekatef, you fill up with your shoulder. That means fill it up and carry it on your shoulder. 19 se'ah, okay, you take 19 se'ah of mayim shuvim. That's what it means, mimalei bekatef. You fill it, you draw water. That's already mayim shuvim. Upotkan lemikvah, what do? You dig like a little ditch, and you pour the water into the ditch. You remember this? And the water travels to the mikvah.
So this is becoming like...
It flows, exactly. So the question is, why does this work? So one of the answers is, because already it's not considered detached from the ground if you make it flow through the ground. Some people say, according to that, there's a machloket, with a pitzul, like a split within that opinion, does it have to be ground that can absorb water, or can it even be hard ground? In other words, some people say, then it can't be hard ground, it has to be absorbed into the water, and it has to be ground that theoretically it's as if it's in the ground. Some people say, no, it doesn't matter what kind of, as long as it's any kind of ground. And then some people say it has nothing to do with that. What it has to do with is, mayim shuvim, pasling, and mikveh is all drabanan. So because it's drabanan, they allowed it in this particular way. In other words, it's almost like a shinoi on Hilchot Shabbat or something. You know, since drabanan, we can avoid it by doing it in some roundabout way. Already it's considered, you know, it's okay. So then he says, vehein tohurim, and this works. Right, the mayim is tohurim now. Shashiva metaheret bereviya uvahamshacha. Because this act of shiva, wayim shuvim, sorry, is okay with two conditions. Rivia, what does that mean? That you have rov of mayim megshamim, you have rov kosher water, and hamshacha, which is what we call this procedure of having it, you know, behemshech, like continuous, where you create a flow. Okay? So that works. So now, according to this, this is what it means when our Mishnah says, Ein mayim shuvim poslim et hamikva ela lefi cheshbon. Okay, it only does it. Now it's a little tricky how you explain ela lefi cheshbon, but it sounds like it's only going to do it maybe rivia, like if it's rov or something, right? As long as you have the right quantity and you do it b'hamshacha, it works. Again, it's not exactly the pshat of our Mishnah. Now, if you noticed, all the cases in our Mishnah and the lashon of our Mishnah seems to be the mekel shita, right? Ein ela lefi cheshbon, meaning it's not going to possel it unless it's lefi cheshbon, meaning this is the mekel shita. Okay, so if you're going to say this is the mekel shita, we're going to have a problem. Michlal, from here one can infer that what, that if it's only Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, it must be someone disagrees. And who's going to disagree? Whoever's going to disagree, which would be chachamim, is going to have a more chamor opinion. Michlal drabanan savrei tivirviya v'hamshacha lo. So from there you can infer that what? Rabbanan are going to say, it's not going to work if you have rov, make shamim, and you use hamshacha. Ela can't possibly be, because hadachiyata rabban am Rabbi Yochanan, when rabban came, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, shi'uva shim shichua kula tahora. Okay? Mayim shu'uvim that you did in this way is all good. Now notice what they don't say. They don't say that you need rov of good water. It sounds from this statement, any, as long as your water is in a flowing into the mikvah, you can have all mayim shuvim. Okay, so if that's the case, that's what Rabbi Yochanan said, and Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov said no, right? You need rivia also, and chachamim are more machmir than them. Then obviously we're stuck, because mane, this statement of Rabbi Yochanan is lo rabbanan velo Rabbi Lezer. Right, it doesn't match either shita, because we have Rabbanan being more machmir, Hamshacha never works, let's say. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov saying Hamshacha and Revia, and Rabbi Yochanan, now he's, those two are Tana'im. He's got to fit in with one of those two Tana'itic opinions. And they say, you don't even need Revia, even Hamshacha by itself is fine. So it doesn't make sense that Rabbi Yochanan would be saying the statement that doesn't match either opinion, so it must be the Chachamim are more Mekel and not more Machmir, in which case we can't say that our Mishnah is Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, because our Mishnah is giving the Mekel opinion. So we reject the whole reading of our Mishnah, that that's what they were talking about. This is why I couldn't explain it when we just read the Mishnah, because there was no way to get into all these details. So that's the case. That's not the case in the Mishnah. It must be something else. Ela Amar Rabba, or some people say Rav Papa, Lefi Cheshbon Kelim. Okay, now let's go back to the line. The line in the Mishnah is, Ein Hamayim Shuvim Poslim Et HaMikveh, Ela Lefi Cheshbon. What did we say about Mayim Shuvim? It poslels a mikveh when you pour in. Right, again, it has to be your mikveh is missing more than like three log of water. You pour in three log of water of mayim shuvim, it's a problem. But only depending on how many kelim you use to pour the water in. Okay, we'll see why this is relevant. The Yosef ben Choni, okay, the Mishnah must match Yosef ben Choni. Detanya, here's a brayta. Shloshet lugim mayim shuvim shenaflu lamayim b'shnayim v'shlosha kelim. If they fall in two or three kelim, or even four or five, it's going to possibly make, but it doesn't matter how many kelim he's basically saying. Yosef and Choni omer, b'shnayim u'shlosha kelim posel et hamikvah. Ba'arba'a v'chamisha ein poslim et hamikvah. If you drop that water into the mikvah using four or five kelim, it doesn't pasul the mikvah. Why is that? Think about it. What's unique about three kelim? Well, three log and three kelim is going to be about a log in each kli. Now, if you have a log in each kli, so a log is a significant amount. If you have four or five kelim, you're going to have less than a log in each kli or in most of the kelim, in which case, every time you drop it in, it's not even a significant enough amount to... It's basically going to be mevatel to the water as soon as it gets into the water. And therefore, if there's not even a log in each cup, it doesn't matter if you pour three log. As long as you do it in small amounts, then it's not going to pasul the mikvah. And that's what our Mishnah means. And that's why our Mishnah is Mekel, because it's Mekel like Yosef and Choni, as opposed to Chachamim, who basically say, doesn't matter, three log, however you get it into the mikvah, it's going to be a problem. And however many kelim you use. I shouldn't say however you get it into the mikvah, because hamshacha would work, but dumping it in doesn't work. Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I didn't look him up. It's a very good question. I probably is. Right. I like the connection. Okay. I don't think he's going to be on there. He's very uncommon. You have to look in one of those books. We can look after class. I have books that give history of the Tanaim. Ve'ein mechatat na'asa mechatat. Okay, now we get to the case that was a bit of an exception to the rule of the Mishnah, where the order of how you put, right, you have to put the ashes into the water. So, man tana, who's the tana? Again, same structure. Am Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, am Rabbi Yochanan, delo ka Rabbi Shimon. It doesn't match Rabbi Shimon. Detanya, higdim afar lamayim pasul. Tanakama says, if you put the afar into the water, you put the afar in the kli and then you pour the water on the afar, it's pasul. You can't do it in that way. For Rabbi Shimon machshir. Here Rabbi Shimon says it's okay. That's not ideal, but it's okay. So what do you see here? Our Mishnah doesn't match Rabbi Shimon because our Mishnah said, right, it's going to be pasul. My time to Rabbi Shimon. What's the reason? By the way, here you see, it's a little different than the structure, right? It's interesting. The Ein Hamayim Shuvim Pasulim Tamik Ve'elafi Cheshbon, we assume, was the Mekel opinion. In this case, it's actually the Machmir opinion. Ein Mechatad Osi Mechatad Elim Matan Efer. According to the way the Gemara understands it, it's more Machmir. So it kind of breaks. So it's actually a question. I didn't think of it till right now. But it raises a question on our whole assumption of the previous Sugya that this Lashon of Ein, this, that, Ela, that, is Mekel. Here it's Tafka Machmir, because it's saying you can't do it except for that way. Ditanya, higdim afar lamayim, pasul v'Rabbi Shimon machshir. So now we're going to continue and explain the reason for each shita. My time at Rabbi Shimon. Dichtiv, v'lakhu latame me'afar srefat achatat, v'natan alav mayim chayim. So this seems to imply what? You take the afar and you put water upon it. That dafka sounds against our Mishnah, right? Vitanya, and the Braita on that pasuk says, Rabbi Shimon omer, v'chi afar hu. First of all, there's another problem. It's not dust. Afar is dust. It's not dust that you put in. Hello, eferhu. It's ashes with an aleph, not an ayin. Okay? Now, right? And you might just say, oh, it was a typo, right? We don't say that about the Torah. It's not a typo. So, why does it call it afar instead of efer? Shina katumi mashma'o. The pasuk specifically changed it from efer to afar. Now, efer and afar, I mean, ashes and dust are not so different from each other. You know, so it called the ashes afar, dust. Why? Ladun hemenu gzera shava. They wanted to learn gzera shava to another place where afar is mentioned. What's that? By the sota. I don't know if you remember this, but with the sota, what do? They take water and they put in it the Megillah that, you know, and they erase it into the, right, with Shem Hashem, they write the whole Megillah Sota and they put it in there. But before they put the Megillah inside, what do? It says, v'lakacha koyamayim kedoshim b'klei cheres. Umin ha'afar asher yeh b'karka ha'mishkan, he takes dust from the floor of the Mishkan. Remember, they didn't have paved floors. It was tiled floors. You know, it was dust, dirt. Yikacha kohen v'natana lamayim. And he puts the afar from there into the water. Okay? So now notice there, what does he do? He puts the afar into the water, the other direction. Okay? So the reason they use the word afar here is to make a gzera shava. Ne'amar kan afar v'ne'amar lahalan afar. Malahalan afar gabe mayim. There it's clear. You put the afar into the water. Afkan afar gabe mayim. Here also, lechatchila, you're supposed to put the ashes into the water. Umakan. Now we're going to do the gzera shava in the reverse way. But just like here, higdim afar lamayim kasher, but if you put the afar in the water first, you put the afar in and then the water on top of the afar, it will be kasher. Afkan higdim afar lamayim kasher. And it's bidieved, it works. Since it works by us, bidieved, it would also work by sota. So if the kohen put the afar first, you put the dust first and then add the water, bidieved, it would be okay. And that they learn from Arkis. So now, hachaminalan, even though it's pretty obvious, where did they learn from here that b'di'evit it's okay? That's the pasuk we just read, right? Trei krai k'tivit, there's two pasukim. It says, v'natan alav, right? Well, that was what we read. V'natan alav mayim chayim. You put on top of the ashes mayim chayim. That sounds like alma efer bereisha. It sounds like ashes would go first. V'hadar k'tiv, but what else does it say? It says, right, v'natan alav mayim chayim. V'natan alav mayim chayim el keli. The end of that pasuk is, you put on it mayim chayim into the kli. It sounds like the mayim chayim have to go in the kli before anything else is in the kli. The mayim chayim have to go in the kli before there's anything else in the kli. So, haketzat, how can you reconcile these two pasukim? Ratza afar lamata, ratza afar lamala. Okay, and you could do it either way. Okay, that's how he rectifies the contradiction, l'chora, between the two parts of the pasuk. So that's Rabbi Shimon. From there he gets that it could be either direction. V'tana didan, so the one who says it can only be water and then ashes. It sounds like a, you know, a recipe, right? How you're supposed to mix things. So tana didan mai taima, amar lacha, seifa dikra dafka. So the end of the pasuk is the real important part. Mayim chayim al keli, that's what's critical. V'natan alav, so what do you do with the natan alav? Which sounds like you can put the afer, you can put the water on the afer. Le'arvan, that means you're supposed to mix it. Okay, that part is teaching you have to mix it. It's not that v'natan meaning mix together. Okay, so now they say, my chazita amar tsefa dekra dafka, dilma resha dafka. In other words, it's very arbitrary that you said the safe is the real thing and the resha just means to mix. Why don't you say the reverse? So they say resha dafka lo matzit amrat. You couldn't say resha dafka is first. Why? Ma matzinu b'chol makom machshir lamala, af kam machshir lamala. Okay? What do you generally see in these kind of situations? It's always the important part goes above, meaning the important part goes into the water. The water is just water. It's what goes into the water that's important. And whenever you see it, like in the sota, what do you see? The afar goes into the water. Where else do you see it? The mitzora. Remember, you take the blood, you sheft it, and then you put the blood of the bird into the kli. So again, the blood is what's important. It always goes into the kli filled with water. So therefore, we're going to assume, it's just logical or maybe precedent would say that that's always going to be first, and that's why Tana Kama darshins it that way. And again, that's what our Mishnah is. Our Mishnah is Tana Kama when it says, Ein mechatad usi mechatad ela im matan efer. Meaning you have to put the ashes into the water and not the reverse. Okay, last case for today. Ein beta pras o se beta pras. Matnitin dilo ka Rabbi Eliezer ditznan. Okay, again, going back to Rabbi Eliezer, it doesn't match Rabbi Eliezer. It says in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer omer, beta pras o se beta pras. A beta pras, okay, can create, it's a problem not just for the beta pras, but if you start plowing, all four sides of your field are going to also be beta pras. Because what happens when you plow? Dirt gets thrown up, things get pulled, you know, thrown all over the place. If the concern is we're going to plow up bones and break them up and there'll be all these bone pieces, well then, it's very likely they got in all four directions. V'rabbanan ad kama. So Rabbanan, who don't agree with him, but they must think to a certain extent you have to worry when you plow because things do get moved. So to what extent? Ki ata ravdimi amar Rish Lakish amar Rabbi Shimon bar Abba shalosh sadot u'shtei ma'anot, three fields and two furrows. Okay, what does it mean? What does that mean? So three fields means wherever the dead body was, we go. Basically, that's considered the field where the dead body is. Then, or where there's suffix, there's a dead body. Then it goes to two other fields. Now, why two and not four? Because the assumption is you plow in a particular direction. You either plow north-south or east-west. So if you plow north-south, then the fields to the north and the field to the south might likely to get bones in them. But the fields to the east and the west are not, because the wind doesn't, you know, I mean, it could depend on the wind, actually. But the assumption is your plowing is going in a particular direction. You don't plow shtiva arev, right, like the wolf and the wart. But you plow in one direction, and therefore three fields, and how far? Shtei ma'ano, two furrows. What is kama malo ma'ana? How much is that? Mea ama. Meaning, wherever it is, 100 amot in either direction. In other words, in not either, right, in the two directions, in the direction that you're plowing. Kiditanya, as it says in a bright, how do we know maloma naz me'ama? And here's exactly our case. Ha'choresh et ha'kever, ose beit ha'pras, meloma ane me'ama. Okay, you create a beit ha'pras situation, right, the length of a furrow, which is 100 ama. So there you see that our Mishnah, so again, our Mishnah is the Meikel opinion in this case, ein beit ha'pras or sim beit ha'pras. Right, a beit ha'pras doesn't create another beit ha'pras. It only goes, right, 100 amma, and that's it. But it doesn't create the whole field, and it certainly doesn't go in all four directions, only in two. That's it for today.